Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, good morning, church. How we doing?
Good.
Well, hey, my name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are continuing our sermon series in soul care. And as I've said in the previous weeks, man, I have not arrived. This is a journey that I'm on, and I feel like this sermon series has been rest and just care for my own soul. So I hope as I'm on this journey that you join us and continue as we look to be restored by God the Father. And so we're going to go this morning we're going to talk about rest and work, and we'll focus, last week we talked about rest, and so this week we'll focus again on rest, and you'll see why in just a little bit. But as we start, I want us to look at work and how work is going. And we just kind of sometimes go throughout the work week and then survive, and we just show up sometimes Sunday just barely catching our breath, don't we? And a little colder breath this morning, this weekend. You guys surviving the cold? Sir, my daughter, she's grown up, I grew up in the Bay Area, and she is a SoCal girl. That's all she's known, San Diego and Fullerton. And just yesterday, she was looking at me, she goes, "What in the world?" She goes, "Why is it cold in the middle of January?" And I'm just like, "Oh, daughter, you have no idea. You know, the rest of the world's like freezing over right now, and we have to put on a jacket and we're dying." And so it was killing me. The middle of January, cold. So what does that have to do with anything? Nothing. But how are we surviving in this time? Are we finding rest for our souls? And so let's go, as we talk about the balance of work and rest, I want us to look at the one who began work. Because when we were created in the Garden of Eden, that we were created to do work. And we often think work is an evil thing. We often just, man, I can't wait till I retire, you know, just relaxing on the beach, and then I'll be done with work. But the Bible has a very different perspective on work. Let's go to Genesis 1. If you have a Bible, take it out. We'll go to the very first book. If you don't, we've got our big blues in the pews. Grab one of those. And if you don't have a Bible at home, take that home. That's our gift to you. We'll throw it up on the screen for you as well. But I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. And as the Hebrew Bible was originally written, the Old Testament, it was often an oratory language. And so it was passed down by just reading. So this week especially, I encourage you maybe just to listen. I'll paraphrase. And you'll see just one verse that we'll throw up on the screen that it's just this theme that continues. So sit back, relax, rest for your souls as I read this in Genesis 1. So here's the picture. God creates in the beginning. Verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light." And then it goes on, it says, "And there was evening and there was morning the first day." So God continues his creation. There was sky. He creates the sky, and it says, "And there was evening and then morning the second day." And he goes on to create the land and the sea, the plant and the trees and the fruit. 13 says, "And there was evening and there was morning the third day." And he goes on to create the stars and the universe, and he begins to create everything, and it says, "And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day." And then he goes on in creating the water and everything that's in it and the surrounding, and God created creatures of the sea, and it says, "There was evening and there was morning the fifth day." On the sixth day, he creates livestock and animals, and so he continues on, and then he creates man and woman, and it says there was evening and then there was morning the sixth day. Now what happens here is then there's a shift in chapter 2. It said, in verse 31 in chapter 1 says, "God saw all that he made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day." So God, there's this rhythm of evening and morning, and he's creating, he's doing work, and then he's stopping, he's doing work. So there's this balance of work and this rhythm of evening, morning. And so God is a creative God. As we look at work, I hope that we, as we look at work in our lives as a creative endeavor, that it's something you and I get to participate in, because God, when he created Adam and Eve, he created them so that they could do work. He created, one of the first things he said to Adam and Eve, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He said, "Look at all of the land and the animals. I'm going to put you in charge of it." So not only does God create, God gives us the ability to create, procreate, to do all sorts of wonderful things. Maybe if you're an artist, it's paintings or writing poems or songs, or if you're an architect and designing buildings, an engineer, or God has given us all the ability to create. Because you'll notice in the beginning there's the garden, but God moves us throughout history, and you look at the very end of the Bible, it's this garden city. So God has this plan, this development of progress that you and I are created to progress. We are created to create. And it's one of these beautiful invitations that God invites us into. Yet our mindset here in America, in the Western world, is very different in the way we view work. Often we just think, okay, I work 5 days, and then I make enough money, and then on that, I'll go to IKEA, Home Depot, you know, just fill my life, shop, gather clothes, everything I can do, and then back to the grind again, and maybe a few things of rest. But God says, I have something so much more for you planned. And we see that as we get to enter in. But what God, his design of work is very different than ours. Because when there's this idea of work and rest, it's so fascinating. Even in the church, we can want to do good things. We can want to just do wonderful things, feed the poor and heal the sick and do all sorts of things that God calls us to. Yet we can have the wrong motives. It's so interesting. This verse came to me this week, Matthew 7:23. We don't have to go there right now. But Jesus is giving this example. He's with a crowd and he says this. He says, there will be some at the end of the age that will come to me and say, Jesus, we prophesied in your name. We did all sorts of healings. We fed the hungry. We took care of the sick. They're like, look how good we are. And they expect Jesus to say, well done. And he says, you did all these things, yet I did not know you. You did wonderful things, but I didn't even know who you are. I don't know you. And so what Jesus is saying, if you're going to enter into this work, if you're going to do work, it's doing it with God, not just for him. He says, I want to enter into your workspace with you. God doesn't just show up on Sunday. He's with us in this rhythm of work throughout the week. So what does that look like? Matthew, let's turn over to Matthew 12. Because there's Jesus' question kind of on this balance. One of the greatest arguments in his day was, well, the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is this word, Hebrew word, Sabbath. And so this word is to stop, to celebrate, to rest in what God has done. And there was this argument that would always go on this day of Sabbath. So God created 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And on the seventh, he rested. And so he calls humanity to enter into this rest on the seventh day. So one of the greatest arguments of the time was, well, how do you spend that day of rest? And so the Pharisees, the religious leaders, came up with, well, you could only take a certain amount of steps. You could only do so much. And what Jesus is saying, he begins to contradict all of that. And he says this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. He says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of the Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the rest. So he's questioned, should I do work on the Sabbath? So there was this argument, do I do work, do I rest? And we still wrestle with this today, but he says this, he says, I'm in control of this day. And I will be here. And he says, you would be wise to learn, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because think about, work can be, I'm in this grind, I need to do more. Last week we looked at the Psalms and it says, you labor, you get up early and you go to work late, you stay at work late, all in vain. You work tirelessly and yet you don't realize that God is the one that's in control. You're doing all of this for nothing. Jesus says, I desire mercy, not a 17-hour workday. I desire, what I'm after is your heart. And so if you're taking notes, God is more concerned. Be you yourselves, we ourselves, that we would be more concerned with who we are than the titles that we have. So Work on who you are becoming more than what title or status you have. Think about this. What do we do when a young child, what's the famous question we always ask a young child? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? I do this. But I've caught myself as I've learned this. We say this to a young child, say, what do you want to become someday? So a little girl that we say, well, what do you want to be? Do you want to be, you know, maybe she has dreams to be a policewoman or firefighter or an architect, an engineer, or a businesswoman. And so we say, well, what do you want to be? The problem with that is we set these things like, okay, once you become this, so let's say this girl becomes a young girl, eventually becomes a businesswoman. She's gone to school now, has her MBA, and there she is. She stands. Now what? She's received the title, and maybe some of us, we're still trying to get that title, that job title. Oh, if I can only get to upper-level management. I want to be the COO, CFO, CEO, and we have these. Or maybe it's just status. I want to be known in this community, and we're chasing these certain dreams. Yet Jesus says, I'm after your heart. I care more about who you become than the title you have. Because the title we chase, once the little girl grows up and she's finally who she is, she's a businesswoman. But is she a woman that is generous and loving and graceful and generous with her wealth? Or is she greedy and keeps all that money to herself? Is she wicked and just mean to her employees? How we raise the next generation depends on the questions we ask them. The questions for ourselves, who are we becoming? Are we more caught up in the title, or are we more interested in becoming a person of grace, of mercy, of love? Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. But this can be difficult, can it? It can be difficult to slow down in a rhythm and focus on who we are becoming, a person of grace and mercy. Yet when the society says it's all on what you acquire, accumulate, and just work and gather more, and the status, it's difficult. Here are a few indicators we've shifted away from that. We've shifted away from a busy or a restful, peaceful life and shifted into a hurry. Last week we talked about Dallas Willard says that the enemy of a spiritual life is hurry. Hurry is the enemy of a good spiritual life, of being restored in God. So maybe this week, ask yourself some of these. Just think about your week. This week, how many meals did you maybe eat on the go? In the car, standing up, grabbing, maybe it was just the Snickers bar, something. You didn't sit down with somebody else. It was just, I just have to do this to go. Were you asked this week to maybe put your phone down during a meal? Is maybe your workspace or your home environment so cluttered and disorganized, your brain's just frantic, and have you maybe missed appointments this week, forgot to do certain things, and you're kind of running around tired and burnt out? These are some indicators that rest and work have gotten a little mixed up. Notice the rhythm of this life, the evening and the morning, and God, there's 12 hours in each day. 12 hours. Do you know, they've done studies just over the last 50, 60 years, in general, we as Americans have gotten an hour and a half less sleep than our previous generation. An hour and a half less. And they're showing when you get less than 7 hours, scientifically, it increases blood pressure, decreases longevity of life. There's all sorts of health consequences that we're just now figuring out, but we continue to, love the coffee. It keeps us going, and we find shortcuts in different ways. But they're finding there's habits that we have. And last week, we did a very unscientific poll and just said, how many of us could use more sleep? And 90% of us said, me. Right? We could use more rest, couldn't we? Yet it's difficult. There's something in our soul that says, no, you must acquire more. You need to be like this person. You need to act like this person. You need to work harder and harder, and you need to acquire. And there's something about our souls that just don't rest. And Jesus says, I want to enter in with you. I want to enter into this space with you. Here's something that I want us to see this morning. Turn with me just a little bit over. Well, let's read, stay right there in Genesis. We're gonna go a little few places here. I'm getting all excited. Here we go. Genesis 2, chapter 1, or verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Do you know, this is the first time in the Bible that the word holy is used. God creates, he blesses this day, and he makes it holy. The Sabbath, the seventh day, is a day of rest. Now, in our day and age, you can find where, as Jesus had came and he said, well, don't, the man was created not for Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for man. Sabbath is a blessing for you. Don't get into legalism that says you have to follow it this way or in this day, but find a day of rest. Because here's this, guess what? God rested. No. God, the creator of the universe, rested. You can too. You're not God, I'm not God. You can rest. Right? We do this. We work so hard sometimes that I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to slow down. God rested. Look at this. Go over to just one book to your right. Genesis 16 says this. We'll put it up on the screen. Verse 23. The Lord asked Moses. So here, this picture that's going on. The Israelites, they're wandering in Egypt. They're wandering. They've been delivered out of slavery from Egypt. And they're wandering, looking for the promised land. And God promises them provision. And he feeds them. And so bread, manna is raining down. And so he says, I will provide food for you 6 days a week. Where some people are like, oh, what were they eating? Was this just like dew on the ground that they're eating? But it's so miraculous that for 6 days this would happen. And every time on the seventh day, there was nothing. And God said, on the sixth day, I want you to collect a double portion and then rest from going and collecting on the seventh day. And in fact, if you try to collect more double portions on other day, so you can just kind of sit back and not work, he says he would make that moldy. And every time somebody would try that, it would get moldy. So if somebody was like, hey, I got an idea. Instead of, I could work just one day a week, collect it all and just ration out for it. He says, no, you work 6 days and then on the seventh, you rest. And so what he says here, here's what God says. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? So the people were disobeying God. They were just trying to work. They were trying to earn. They were trying to collect on the Sabbath day. And he says this, they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift. The Lord's gift to you. If we can put that up, do we have that on the screen? Exodus 16. It says, that is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day. So there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. So there's this rhythm of 12 hours of work and then rest. Think about that. As I mentioned earlier, our lifestyles, whoa, there we are. All right, rest. Everyone take a nap. We're going to probably, that's all right, you can leave it off. We're good. We're just taking naps. Half of you do anyway. No, just kidding. I see you. So rest. I mean, this is good, right? Those of you who are listening online, it's like, what's going on? The lights just fell off, okay? but think about the rhythm. I love actually that the lights went off. There was evening and there was morning. Because of that study, we have an hour and a half less. One of the reasons we have less sleep is because of these things. Do you know the blue lights that come, they're emitted? That's why a lot of iPhones and different phones have that the night shift. They're trying to decrease the blue light that comes from the LEDs and your TV screens, computer screens. All these things, what it's doing, it's keeping us up at night. And so we've extended with technology, and I love technology, but the light and everything, it keeps us up longer. So if you want to get a little more sleep, practice, they say, scientists are saying, turn off your phone, turn off your TV a half an hour before bed. Maybe turn off some lights, turn off Netflix, talk to your spouse, talk to your children, talk to your roommates. Maybe we have the screens that are constantly inundating us with just information, information. But there was evening and there was morning. There's a form of rest. Have you thought about this? Maybe you've grown up in church and never seen this or just hearing this the first time. Why? Oh, now we're back to work, man. Have you thought about why there was evening first? There was evening and then morning. If Sabbath is a gift for us, rest is. It's not just on the seventh day. In fact, God gives us rest each and every day. Yet you and I, we fail to see it. We fail to receive that rest. I mean, here, look, we could all do this right now. Let me teach you a little trick. On your phone, there's this little button onto the side. Hold it down. Swipe right, and you can turn, whoa, Siri started talking to me. She said, don't do that to me. You can turn this thing off. Begin a day with some rest. Begin a day in God's word. Begin your day. Now, I'm not proposing that we rewrite our calendar and change the way there is evening and day. We keep going, just the rhythm of the sermon. I'm not saying we rewrite our whole days and have to start at night, but maybe we would turn off the phone sometimes. Because here's the importance, the evening part, the reason it starts with an evening is that God says, each day is a gift. Each day is my blessing. I am the one that created and then rested. All my life I'd assumed there were 6 days God created, and on the seventh day he shows up just like, whoo, man, I created the universe, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come on, sit down, like, we have to rest. That was some work. No, it says that the scripture, the language here is that it's almost as if a king, it's very different, that God created all of these things and he looks and he says, man, this is very good. Do you know, my wife, as I come home in a day, she can know how my day is. I like to achieve and accomplish. And so she can tell in a day when I say, like, how was today? She just did this to me the other day. And I was like, good. And she goes, you got a lot done, didn't you? And I said, yes. It's kind of one of those king moments. God looks and just says, I look at everything and it's good. It feels good to get things done, doesn't it? Amen. Do you know that God says, I've completed everything, so I can rest. Friends, let me give you a gift. God says, children, my children, let me give you a gift. I've completed everything. I'm a king. I can sit down. The rule has been taken care of. So you can begin your day with rest. You and I, we are finite beings. We can't accomplish it all. You will always go to bed with a to-do list. In fact, scientists have said and psychologists have looked at a sleep study to help you. Before you go to bed, practice this. And I think it's wonderful for Christians because you can go to bed and it says, practice before you go to bed. You ever wake up, just your mind, what your brain does is categorize and shifts memories and different things while you sleep. Do you ever wake up and like, oh, I forgot to do this? Anyone else do that? And a practice you can do before going to bed is write down the things left undone. And then, as Christians, this is the beautiful thing that you get. You get to write down the things that you have not done and then go to bed. And then sleep. Because you can realize that God is in control. Your company will still survive. Your students, your peers, they will all survive. For me, it's the church will still go on. I'm not a savior. God is the creator of the universe. Your life will still exist. Your family will be okay. Yet we try and force on. Last night, I just had a huge, usually Sunday night is kind of this prep time that I have for my sermon, just like to get my notes straight and everything, thoughts clear. And I ended up getting a huge migraine. And I used to, as a kid, I always thought, I was like, oh, migraines are so weird. Like, I always thought people had migraines, like, you're just making an excuse to go off, like, in a dark room, and you're just annoyed with the world. Like, I never believed in migraines, but, like, I started to get them, and, man, my head felt like it was about to explode. And so yesterday, and maybe this is too graphic, but I'm just, like, hugging the bowl, and just about to, like, throw up, and just, like, this terrible migraine. And I told myself, well, I got to get the kids ready and do all these things, and I'm just going to force through. So I got up, and if you know migraines, like light and sound is just very sensitive, and so I'm just trying to force through yesterday, and I get halfway down the hall, and like kids screaming different stuff, and I'm like about to throw up. I'm like, okay, I got to go back, and I sat there, I'm like, no, just force through it, and I just like started preaching this sermon to myself and saying, you know what, you need to take care of yourself. You can't just force through this. Rob, you're not God. And then some of you one step ahead of the game are like, well, you weren't even resting, Pastor. You're writing your sermon right there. Another analogy. I know. Pray for me. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, this is good. I need to practice my sermon myself. And so don't we need that? It's the old analogy of sharpening the saw. That we need to take time to sharpen the saw. If we're going to go to work, we have to stop and be revived by rest. Realizing that each day starts out with grace. The scriptures say that God says, my mercies are new every morning. My grace is given to you, that you would start out your day with rest. Let me end with this last one. Did I give you the second point, my note takers? Yeah? No, sorry, note takers, you don't get it. No, just kidding. So, second point, enter into the rhythm of grace each day. Enter into the rhythm of grace. There was evening and there was morning. Remember, we are finite beings and that we can be rested. The third point is be restored on the Sabbath. Sabbath, this day to stop and to celebrate. Celebrate what? That God is in control. Celebrate that we are finite beings and that we cannot do it all. Do you know this? We'll end with this last verse here. Matthew 12, right where we were, when Jesus is going and he has this conversation about the Sabbath, we won't have it on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And he said this, if any of you, so he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, like, if any of you have sheep that are in trouble, wouldn't you rescue them? And so what he does, he ends up healing this person, this man on the Sabbath. Do you know throughout scriptures, Jesus is constantly found healing on the Sabbath. He's also found healing in the synagogue. You and I, where we find rest is in Jesus, it's on the Sabbath, and it's in the synagogue, the church. We find rest for our souls, because isn't it fascinating how we can say we're trying to live the work week, and we go, we work 5 days, and then we're at the mall, and we're shopping IKEA, Home Depot, we're shopping and acquiring, and yet kids' sports are filling up, or just schoolwork and all these things, and then we don't allow 2 hours for God on Sunday. And yet, Jesus says, I want to restore your soul. I want you to find healing in this place, encouragement from other people. I want you to focus on who you are becoming, not what you can acquire in the status. We'll get there. We'll do wonderful works together. But I want to heal and restore your soul so that you would be restored, the third and final point, that you would be restored on the Sabbath. Jesus came to bring healing for you on this day. You can find rest for your souls. Not so much in who you will become, but a person that can show love and grace to other people. When you enter into this rhythm of evening and morning, you remember that grace was shown to you, and so you can show grace to others. You can love others. You can work with a refreshed state of mind and a soul that relaxes because you've been given. And you know there's a Father that's in control of it all. You can go to bed, you can take a nap, knowing that the world will go on. It doesn't need you. It doesn't need me. But there's a God who's at hand and is working. Would you rest in that? Would you rest in the Father's work? Would you rest in the work of Jesus? He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will heal and restore your soul. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Father, we come to you resting, acknowledging that we don't have it all together. We run, we grow tired and weary. Maybe this week, Father, may we spend some time with those that we love. May we turn off maybe our phones and hear from you. Maybe spend time praying, maybe even fasting, removing technology or even food, relying that we are dependent, knowing that we are dependent on you. Show us how to be dependent on you. And in fact, that is where we will find our strength. That is when we will become most creative, when we will find energy and joy. Lord, may that energy and joy flow out to our friends, our families, our workspaces, our campuses. God, may we find true rest in you, Jesus. May we hear your voice. Come to me, all who are weary, and you'll find rest for your souls. God, we thank you for that rest that we can only find in you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.